This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The results of Wisconsin's presidential election and our 10 electoral votes could be decided by the state Supreme Court. The Trump campaign is asking the court to overturn Joe Biden's victory on the grounds they say that clerks in Milwaukee and Dane counties improperly issued, accepted, and counted absentee ballots. The Trump team wants the Supreme Court to throw out more than 221,000 absentee ballots. That would include all of the in-person absentee ballots cast in those counties before Election Day. The request comes after votes were recounted in those areas, a move that cost the Trump campaign $3 million. Those recounts wound up boosting Biden's win by 87 votes, putting his margin of victory at about 21,700. The results were approved by the Wisconsin Elections Commission and certified by Governor Evers on Monday. You can join in. Let us know what you make of all this at 800-642-1234. Do you think the Wisconsin election is effectively done now? What do you think of the Trump team's legal challenges and from former Trump legal team members in the state? If you voted absentee in Milwaukee or Dane counties, what do you think about the notion that your ballot could be thrown out? And what questions do you have about how all this works? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Charlie Jacobs is a professor of public law, judicial process, and American politics at St. Norbert College. Charlie, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, let's start with a recount, Charlie. As expected, the vote totals didn't change a whole lot with this recount of the state's two biggest counties. What do you think was the motivation for the Trump campaign in asking for and paying for these recounts?
Well, I think there were a couple of reasons why they were going to do this. One, in selecting these two counties, which are large by population and, of course, have a higher density of Democratic voters, they were probably trying to identify what they believed were improper votes or proper voting processes, because it's where the votes are that are going to help them to close the gap that they had on Election Day. And so I think that's one of the motivations. Second is you need an avenue by which you're going to get to a court. And so if they're going to try and undermine our faith in the way in which the votes were counted or the process that was used, you're going to have something to hang your hat on. And so these two counties were a way, I think you could fuse both of those items together in a way to vault yourself into some court and hopefully either slow down the process of certification or win outright and get the 10 Electoral College votes for the Trump camp.
Now we have the election certification, not something that usually gets a lot of attention after elections, but it became a big deal. We had the Wisconsin Elections Commission Chair Ann Jacobs sign off on Biden's win after the recounts. Republican members of that panel said she shouldn't have done it, asked for a resignation as chair. What's your read on this certification process?
I mean, a lot of this, I think, is a lot of smoke. The process that Ann Jacobs used was similar, if not exact, if my memory serves, as what was conducted in 2016 when Donald Trump won. And she's just replicating that and replicating what the guidance is for the operation. As you note, you know, this is sort of pro forma. This is in many ways just the cherry on top. The counts are made. Everyone verifies and validates it and off it goes. Now, this is more contentious. So I think some of the members of the WEC were just interested in trying to slow the process down a bit, trying to give the Trump administration a little bit more time to file a suit. But as statute seems to indicate, the certification is in essence going to be put on pause whether or not Evers signed it or not, because now an appeal to the recount has been made. And so we're sort of in this odd sort of certification purgatory of sorts, waiting until we see what the results of the appeal are going to be.
Let's talk about the court side of things. Now, we've got multiple challenges here. The Trump campaign is, I think, the main line of attack here, going to the state Supreme Court. There's a former Trump team lawyer going into federal court. There's an outside group also challenging the election to the state Supreme Court. Let's start with the effort from the Trump campaign. What case are they making here?
So it's actually sort of multifaceted. And the interesting thing is that there isn't really a claim of fraud here, per se, which is what they've been pushing around the country, at least outside of courtrooms, rather than maybe inside of courtrooms. Here, a lot of what is being discussed is process and procedure, that there have been some violations of state statute in the way in which the election was conducted. And that includes some of the ways in which individuals were granted absentee ballots or the ways in which they were able to drop off absentee ballots with officials with, say, Madison area officials. And so a lot of what they're attacking here isn't necessarily that people violated the law knowingly, but that the processes created both by the WEC and local clerks violated fundamental statute. The issue here with that is that voters are voting in good faith. They are relying on the information that they receive from local municipalities about what they're supposed to do in order to get a ballot and to submit it. And those municipal workers, those clerks, are relying on the WEC that gives them guidance about how they're supposed to behave under law, which means everybody's acting in good faith. And most of the guidance that was offered by the Election Commission has been on the books for a long time. And one of the questions that the court will certainly ask is, why didn't you bring this case sooner? Why are you waiting until now to discuss this? Because the remedies available to the court to scuttle all of these votes is rather extreme when questions of process could have been resolved in October or September or even as far back as March. And so I think that's one of the fundamental issues that's going to be raised by whatever court is dealing with these questions from the Trump campaign.
Yeah, I want to talk about, I guess, the enormity of the remedy for these technical challenges. The lawsuit says throw out over 200,000 ballots, which would flip probably the result, almost certainly the result of the election. Is there precedent for doing something like this?
Not at the presidential level that I'm aware of. I mean, there have been some recent congressional elections. There have been some local elections where, in essence, we've done a redo, some sort of playground kind of remedy where you just do it all over again. And the other issue about this remedy, I mean, you're talking about 200,000 votes, but you know, there are 70 other counties that were using the same procedures that the Elections Commission created. And it would be a conundrum for the court to say, well, we're going to throw out these votes in these two counties, but neglect the fact that we're going to rule that the process was wrong, but allow all these other votes to stand. So really, the slippery slope with the argument is all absentee ballots in the state might have to go if they persuade the judges that this is a fault in the way in which the WEC implemented this particular election.
We're talking about the certification of Wisconsin's presidential election and the Trump campaign's legal fight to overturn results. Charlie Jacobs is with us, professor of public law, judicial process, and American politics at St. Norbert College. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the process, the legal challenges, and your questions, too. Call in at 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're talking about the status of Wisconsin's presidential election. Charlie Jacobs is with us, professor of public law, judicial process, and American politics at St. Norbert College in De Pere, looking at the Trump team's legal challenges as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll go to our callers now. Bob is with us in Chippewa Falls. Bob, hi.
Hi. Say, I find it very interesting, especially what your guest says. It indicates to me the Republicans have changed their strategy from trying to meet intent with fraud to now just trying to challenge a process that's never been questioned. As far as I'm concerned, they're putting garbage in and the court is throwing garbage out. So I find that it's just total garbage what they're doing.
Bob, thanks a lot for the call. And Charlie, Republican challenges and the Trump team challenges around the country have not had a ton of success in courts with these arguments. Is that right?
Well, not with the fraud arguments. And I think in part it's because they walk in the door sort of implying that there's fraud. And then when the judges try to disentangle from the other arguments, this idea of fraud, it all sort of falls apart like a house of cards. The one reason I think at least the arguments are going to be entertained here by a court, and I don't know whether or not the Supreme Court's going to take it under their original jurisdiction or whether or not it's going to go to a circuit court, but I think that they're at least going to entertain these arguments a little bit because they are about process, and they're going to want to make sure that they're ensuring for voters themselves that they have faith that the process was met. I think what's going to be interesting is after these various cases are wrapped up, what the state legislature is going to do to either remedy ambiguities in the law or rein in the WEC and the way in which it offers guidance. Because, you know, WEC's got a lot of latitude here about how they help the clerks understand they're going to implement an election. And that's where all of these questions arise, because is it proper? Are you following statute? And who's going to resolve these disputes? It should be the legislature. And I think that's what we're going to have to lean on.
Let's go to another caller now. Jody is with us in Monona. Jody, hello.
Hi. Yeah, I was an early voter in Monona, and so was my entire family. And the idea that they could throw my legal vote as a registered voter out is really garbage. I think this is all a point to keep a whole bunch of people in this country angry and to keep getting money based on that anger. That's kind of where I'm coming from.
Jody, thanks a lot for that call. And Charlie, if people like Jody and many other 200,000 voters had their votes voided, in effect, did they then have legal recourse?
I mean, they may. And there was a suit filed in October when there were questions raised by members of the state Senate regarding the collection of ballots as sort of a way to stem arguments from Republicans about the way the process was unfolding. So it would be interesting whether or not the governor in reply to this case is going to bring up those kinds of issues, because, you know, somebody like Jody shows up to the polls, and my guess is she probably voted early before as well, because that's a pattern. You go with the notion that the clerks are telling you the process that you're supposed to use, and you assume it's valid. And the clerks, as I said before, assume it's valid because that's what the WEC told them. And for years, people have been showing up and making application for early voting, which is merely an absentee ballot, but in person. They rely on this information. And she's right to worry that even though she followed the rules as she knew them, her vote might get tossed.
Thanks for that call, Jody. In our last minute or so, Charlie, what are you watching for next as the legal process unfolds here?
I think for me, the biggest question is going to be whether or not the state Supreme Court even takes this case. And one of the issues really is that, you know, Supreme Courts don't like to take cases like this on their original jurisdiction. And by that, I mean, they take the case first because there's no record developed by a court previous and they don't have full information. And you kind of are spitballing decisions when that happens. And so I'm wondering whether or not the court is going to defer to the circuit courts to start this process and see how it unfolds before they take it up. And that's what I'm really looking for. What's the Supreme Court going to do in this case?
Charlie, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Charlie Jacobs is a professor of public law, judicial process, and American politics at St. Norbert College. We talked to him today about the certification of Wisconsin's presidential election results and the Trump campaign's legal fight to overturn those results.